The issue of the remaining hostages or the bodies of the remaining hostages in Gaza remains as at today. Four Israelis remain. I think three Israelis and one Thai citizen remain in Gaza. And the difficulty in the current situation is there are international rules and regulations that do apply to these types of situations, but not generally when you are dealing with a terrorist or terrorist organizations. This isn't just Hamas, this is Palestinian Islamic Jihad as well. So, to try and unpack a really complicated situation is Anne Herzberg, legal advisor and UN representative, the Institute for NGO research. And great to have you back with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Great to be with you again.
So yeah, we spoke last week about the tunnels and the Hamas members stuck under the tunnels, and kind of weirdly related to this is the issue of the Israeli remains of the Israeli hostages in Gaza. Because what place is there, if any, for international law in the current circumstances?
Well, unfortunately, I think the international law is clear. First of all, they shouldn't have taken hostages in the first place because that was a
No,
massive
absolutely.
violation. Holding on to the bodies is also a violation. But really, the issue is not so much the existence of international law, it's the fact that in this situation, we're dealing with these terrorist organizations who don't care about international law. And so therefore that's exactly what complicates the problem. So it's really not an issue, it's not really a legal problem per se, it's more of a who is going to enforce the law problem. And what is the best way to do that? And again, that's not really a legal problem, it's more of a political issue and a military issue. So there, we have a ceasefire in place for the moment, although Hamas is violating it by not handing over these bodies. But also, the Trump administration wants this plan to be successful, this 20-point plan for the reconstruction of Gaza. And so that's really more what's complicating things at the moment. How are they going to keep this plan going and move it forward in a positive direction when we keep having these snags?
Just so that I can get my head around it, because I'm honestly struggling with this very idea of international law. The more I read about it, the less I understand about it, actually, between you and me in the kitchen sink. I just presume we were dealing with normal organizations who did care. I know they don't, but just presume they did. Are there laws governing these situations? Would there be obligations on them to return bodies of hostages? I mean, I understand, it's a crazy question because you can't take hostages in the first place. So it's.
Right. And there would be a legal obligation, but I think that's precisely it, because when you have law-abiding countries, we would just never find ourselves in such a situation. Or there would be mechanisms, you could use diplomatic mechanisms in order to come up with a solution if you had two law-abiding countries at odds. But I think the other thing too is when we're looking at international law, which a lot of people don't understand about it, is it's not, although in this case it is clear about the prohibition on hostage taking, but a lot of times in international law it's not clear. It's written in a very vague way and there it's open to interpretation. So you could have states that interpret the same law in very different ways, and there's no one body or arbiter of how what the right, quote unquote, right way is to view these laws. And I think that's also something that causes a lot of confusion, because ultimately a lot of international law is simply politics dressed up as law. And I think that's really, causes some of the difficulty.
That makes a lot more sense to me, what you're saying. It's kind of realpolitik, and that'll dictate what happens on the ground. I'm still trying to get my head around the philosophy of it, and I'm wondering, I mean, in a normal situation, again, I understand this isn't, but what kind of sanctions could there be or would there be, if at all,
So
for
there's certain
breach?
things, yeah, sure. There's certain things you could do. Now, of course, aggrieved country could place its own sanctions on the other party in order to try to force them to do what they want. You know, that's one thing they could do. They could go to the UN Security Council because the UN Security Council has the power to impose sanctions. So that's another thing they could do. They could, in some cases, go to the International Court of Justice, that handles a subset of interstate disputes. And there are several other kind of trade mech there's like the World Trade Organization, or there's a court for the law of the sea that can oversee disputes between countries. So depending on the issue, there are certain mechanisms, but the other tricky part though about these international mechanisms is if they're not going to be enforced, they don't have power. And most of these mechanisms do not have enforcement capability. So even if they, let's say, did a ruling, there's nothing really to hold them to it, because they don't have enforcement powers. So that's the other thing when you have this this reliance on these international mechanisms and why it's not always the best choice.
So what I'm hearing you saying really is that recourse can't be had here at all to international law. It'll have to be to mediators like Turkey and the US. And that's not uncomplicated in its own right because one has to wonder what Turkey's aim is currently and what they hope to achieve by being involved in this at all.
Yeah, 100%. And also Qatar. You know, I think, you know, what we can look at is Qatar has had the ability to influence Hamas, but throughout the war, in many cases, it chose not to, but really didn't. But when did Qatar decide, okay, we will now put pressure on Hamas to release the hostages immediately, was after Israel's strike on Qatar. So they saw that there was consequences for them not doing what they should have done. And place pressure on Hamas. They should have stopped supporting Hamas. And it was only until they themselves faced the consequences of that that they decide to reevaluate their position and then go along with what the US was asking it to do.
Are you
So,
referring to the attack on Doha by the Israelis?
correct, correct. So that was an
Okay.
example where they were not doing what they should have done. They did have an international legal obligation, not just because of the hostage taking, but also under counterterrorism law. There's a UN Security Council resolution that says you cannot, in any way, shape, or form, support or finance terrorism. And they were ignoring that by supporting Hamas. But really, it took Israeli military action for them to live up to their obligations.
Yeah, I find
So,
that really fascinating because Amit Segal was reported as having said that that was the most unsuccessful successful military attack in history, and I
yeah,
tend to agree
exactly.
with it.
And I think one has to wonder, perhaps it wasn't really a miss.
No,
I mean,
it
I think,
wasn't.
you know, you may have to wonder, like, perhaps
Maybe they
they,
aimed to miss. Maybe.
right, maybe they didn't want to actually kill the people. They wanted to, more to send the message. I mean, that's also a possibility.
Very interesting. All right,
Yeah.
so that is interesting. So basically, international law is a bit of a waste of time in this particular instance that we've established today. Final question for you, and I know you're a lawyer. I know that you don't look into crystal balls. Are you hopeful? Do you think that the remains of the four will be returned?
Yeah, I mean, I do think eventually they will, but again, and I think I said this last week as well, they, you know, I think Hamas is trying to buy time because this, again, the second phase of the plan is disarming Hamas. And so they're going to try to drag this out as long as possible. They've already done so for more than a month now. And I think that's really the That's really what they're doing because it's allowing them time to think about what their next steps are going to be and how they can maintain power and influence in the coming new in the come in the second phase of the framework.
And so we wait and we watch and we watch. Anne Hertzberg, again, thank you so much for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you.